Welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, your weekly insight into the world of golf betting. And the man to provide all of that is Steve Palmer. Steve, he joins us. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, bearing up. Casey Jarvis removed another little piece of my soul last week. I feel incredibly foolish for not backing him. I feel like the DP World Tour season is trolling me now. David Pooge won the first event of this season. Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen won the second event of this season. And now Casey Jarvis has won back-to-back. So I apologise for Sweet Spot viewers. It should have been a big party last week. We should have been with the Casey Jarvis Masters party, but we weren't. But it's lit a fire of determination in me, Dave. I must say, if I look a little bit tired this morning, it's because I am a little bit tired this morning. I've worked so hard over the last 48 hours. It's four tournaments this week. I worked pretty much all of Sunday, all of yesterday, finished at 1 a.m. I know everything is possible to know about these golf tournaments. This is our chance. It's a massive opportunity when there's four tournaments. You know, this you can win your freedom this week for small stakes. The producers panic when I say that sort of thing because, you know, we must all gamble responsibly. But for small stakes, you can win your freedom this week.
Four tournaments. We will get into all of that. You're, of course, joining us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do like, comment, subscribe. We want to hear from you. And, of course, it is 1 week today. We record this on a Tuesday morning. Cheltenham is around the corner and the Racing Post have got you covered. In the know, good morning, Cheltenham. That'll all be happening next week. And just keep your eyes on our socials and this channel. Everything you need to know about Cheltenham will be served up to you. Steve, listen, we'll address the elephant in the room. You've mentioned Casey Jarvis. I was trying to work out if you'd be more upset having not tipped Casey Jarvis or if you had tipped Shane Lowry.
It's a good question, Dave. Yeah. I mean, we'll take him in chronological order. I mean, lots of discussion about Shane Lowry, but yeah, Casey Jarvis, yeah, just so disappointing to not be on. I'm so angry with myself. I've been hitting myself regularly over the last 48 hours because there were reasons for thinking he could keep his focus. Do you remember my wishy-washy excuses last week for leaving him out? They might be bubbling over. I expected big celebrations after Kenya, but that didn't give enough respect to the Masters motivation. Do you remember, for the first time in the history of the South African Open, the winner gets into the Masters. So I'd imagine Casey Jarvis would have got his head down after winning in Kenya and focused on the next mission, which was to secure a place in the Masters. So I feel like the focus was there. He putted amazingly well last week. And I remember when we first started backing him many moons ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, the reason we liked him so much was because of his success in South African amateur events. He won basically everything it's possible to win in South African amateur golf. And he won those events in clusters. So when he stays hot, when he gets hot, he stays hot. So, when he's buzzing. And he was buzzing last week. Yeah, the celebrations were wild. It's such a shame we weren't part of them. But he's now in two majors, Dave. He's going to the Masters and he booked his place in the Open Championship as well. It's all happening very quickly for Casey Jarvis.
And he's 22 years old. Is that right?
He's 22. He's got majors to come. The world's his oyster now. And he's playing again this week. We've got big decisions to make on Casey Jarvis again this week. Joburg Open preview coming up.
Okay, right. So we look back on two and preview four. Busy, busy show. Yeah. Let's start then with the South African Open, as Steve has mentioned. Casey Jarvis back-to-back, 14 under par. There was a cluster of players at 11 under par. And then at 10 under par, Eddie Pepperell, having been back on the tour through Q School. He had his wife on the bag as well. Wonderful scenes. But we'll get onto all of that. Casey Jarvis then, back-to-back. You know, your man Shaper did it before Christmas. Patrick Reed nearly did it. I think he won 2 out of 3. Players are a bit streaky at the moment.
Well, Casey Jarvis has won the last two. Daniel Hillier won the New Zealand Open last week to rub salt into our wounds. Yeah, we've been backing Daniel Hillier a lot. He just got married in New Zealand and then he went and won the New Zealand Open. So, Henny de Pletheth is the comeback story you should be talking about. It's nice to see Eddie Pepperell back, but Henny de Pletheth is an even more magnificent story because he had 18 months on the sidelines. He had basically an 18-month sabbatical to get a wrist injury sorted. So he had wrist surgery. And then when he came back last October, he won his first event back on the Sunshine Tour. And he's played great since. So like, it's showing the benefit of a sabbatical, Dave. I think we should have a sabbatical, 18 months off, and then we come back and we just tip the winner every week. So yeah, as Henny de Pletheth, keep an eye on him. Angel Ayora, we must discuss Angel Ayora. Another terrible start to the final round day. Had another winning chance. Opened up with a double bogey on Sunday. He was 3 over par through the first four holes of the final round. So Angel Ayora is getting this these Sunday nerves. He's getting in position and then faltering. So yeah, Angel Ayora, another one we need to debate this week in the Joburg Open. And then Dean Burmester, Dave. I thought Dean Burmester was going to win. Did you think Dean Burmester was going to win at the halfway stage? He looked the man to beat.
Well, I didn't think Casey Jarvis was going to win at the halfway stage.
No, Dean Burmester, 65-67, favourite for me at that point. But then weekend rounds of 72-71. So, yeah, really disappointing weekend. Lessons to learn. We go again.
Okay, well, listen, one thing that we encourage is you out there watching us, listening to us, to get involved and get in touch with us. And I thought in a way to keep your pecker up, Steve, I'd pluck out a few of the YouTube comments. Giles Moore says, Jarvis two in a row, who'd have thunk it? Hillier rubs salt in the wounds by winning in New Zealand too. You just have to laugh and move on. I'm not sure Shane will be doing that for a while, though. I know Nico can play in the wind, but he'd missed 4 out of 5 cuts. Keep your pecker up, Steve. Onwards.
Thank you, Giles. Yeah, I like Giles. There were some great comments last week. I really appreciate all the support.
Well, one more as well from Andy Turner. Steve made some logical comments about not backing Casey Jarvis, so no problem there. Again, it shows South Africans very much win in their own country. So looking forward to all the experts' Joburg Open thoughts this week. So we'll get on to all of that. All good.
Very, very generous of Andy there. Yeah, I think my reasons for avoiding Casey Jarvis last week were wishy-washy, and I'm angry with myself, but I appreciate Andy being kind.
Listen, we promote kindness here on the sweet spots.
Hashtag be kind.
Anything else to add, Steve? So we've got a busy show, so we've got to crack
on.
Yeah,
no, we must press on. Be kind, work hard. Be kind, work hard. Cognizant Classic. Cognizant Classic, lots to discuss there.
Okay, right, be kind. The bear trap wasn't too kind to poor old Shane Lowry. I couldn't believe what I was actually seeing this, Steve. We're not looking at a player who's not been on the big time. We're not looking at a maiden, you know, someone looking to win for the first time. And the wheels well and truly fell off for poor old Shane Lowry.
Yeah, absolutely horrible to watch because we all love big Shane. It looked like he'd ridden his luck and was going to win because early on in the round, he hit some shocking shots and got away with it. He pulled a drive at the sixth. Did you see that one at the sixth? Like a toppy duck.
Yeah,
hook.
Then you always think, oh, it's his day. It's got to be his day.
Yeah, because things were going well. It was the old luck of the Irish. I mean, that shot at the sixth should have ended up in the water and didn't. He salvaged an amazing par. 6 holes later on the 12th hole, another hook drive. Went in a really deep fairway bunker, which would have made it difficult to get to the green. But it gets spat out of that bunker. You know, it sort of miraculously leapt out of that fairway bunker, and he made birdie on that hole. So he birdied the 12th because he got a good lie and was able to get to the green. Birdied the 13th, and then, yeah, you feel it was done. I know we were worried last week about the way he threw away the Dubai Invitational. He hasn't won since September 2022. We knew he had some demons to overcome, but 3 shots clear, 3 holes to play against, you know, mediocre opposition, let's be honest, in a course he knows so well, and he always plays well there. It's 20 minutes from his house, Dave. You know, his house is, you know, sleeping in his own bed last week. Loads of local support. Everything looked rosy in the Lowry Garden. But then, as you say, the bear trap, you know, you love your bear trap, Dave. And, the bear trap, you know, the grizzly bear ate up the big Irish bear. It was painful to watch, wasn't it? I mean, the iron off the tee at 16, yeah, it's just sliced into the water, and double bogey there, and then the same shot really on the 17th, a sliced approach at 17 into the water for another double bogey. So
unexpected. I mean, I wasn't following the in running betting, but he must have been so short in running.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I wasn't either. But I would imagine he would, sort of like 98% chance of winning at that point, isn't he? He's absolute certainty. He just got one in his head about his daughter. I mean, you've got two young daughters, haven't you, Dave? Like, he admitted in the post-round interview. I mean, all credit to him for accepting the post-round
interview. Yeah, fair play to him for just kind of just owning it. Yeah.
Yeah, we must give him a pat on the back for that, because we've seen it in the past. Your Colin Morikawas, even your Rory McIlroys have said, no, I'm not prepared to face the media after a debacle.
Yeah, here's
like
a shot
that.
Of him getting in the car. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I was impressed that Shane fronted it up. And I really did fear for the reporters and they were going to mess up with the questions. But he admitted that it meant so much to him because his four-year-old daughter was there, Dave. His four-year-old daughter, and he over those last few holes, he's imagined it's the first time, it would have been the first time she's ever been present at one of his wins. So he's after that classic thing that Tommy Fleetwood had in India. Remember Tommy Fleetwood? He loved the fact his son came onto the green when he won in India. So Larry was looking to do the same thing. He was talking about, you know, imagining her little ginger hair. She's got a big head of ginger hair. It was in his head. And, it's such a shame. Like, obviously he wanted it a bit too much and then collapsed at the end there. So, yeah. Tough one for Shane Lowry. It'd be interesting to see how he goes from here, because as he said to his caddy, how the heck can I handle the pressure I did at Bethpage back in September last year? I mean, he had a putt to retain the Ryder Cup for Europe. You know, do you remember the Ryder Cup? Yeah, it came down to Big Shane. And we had those wonderful celebrations afterwards.
Yeah.
So in September, he's handled what seems like the ultimate golfing pressure. Yeah, we've seen him lead the Open from the front at Royal Port Russia and win that. You know, he's proven himself. He's proven his mettle. But this victory drought is just clearly eating away at him now. September 2022, long time ago, Dubai Invitational rubbish event, Cognizant Classic rubbish event. He's thrown away two rubbish events. Where do we go from here?
Tough one to wear. However, there was a winner. It wasn't Shane Lowry. Nico Echeverria, 17 under par. Shane Lowry among those on 15 under par. And among those in the places was Ricky Castillo. So it wasn't all car crash last week. Steve, you banged yourself the place.
No, we got some solace from that. Yeah, Ricky Castillo finished fifth on his own, 66-1. Really good player. I like him. He's improving there. You can see he's clearly getting more comfortable. Missed a short par putt on the sixth on Sunday to fall too far behind. But yeah, keep Ricky Castillo on your side. We got to discuss him in the Puerto Rico Open. Nico Echeverria, we know we love Nico Echeverria. I appreciate what Giles said there. I didn't for one second feel bad about missing Nico Echeverria.
I love him, but I looked at his form and I just thought, absolutely no way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Do you remember we were talking about him at the turn of the year? He got married to the lovely Claudia, didn't he? The very premature celebrations with Claudia and the gang. Afterwards, when Echeverria finished, Larry could still eagle the last and force a playoff. But Echeverria and Claudia were just away and gone and celebrating. He's been ropey since he got married. A good player, three-time winner on the PGA Tour. Keep Echeverria on side. Keep Castillo.
I like him. He's a good putter, isn't he? Good putter, really good putter.
Really good putter. And then Ryan Gerrard, we must discuss Ryan Gerrard. I mean, yeah. He got off to a slow start, Dave. You know your greyhounds. I mean, he was slow out the traps. He played well over the final three rounds, finished 23rd. I noticed another one of our friends, Aaron Markham, talking about a potential draw bias last week. There wasn't a draw bias, Aaron. It was a fifth of a shot. The late early wave of the draw was a fifth of a shot harder than early late. So Gerrard hasn't even got that excuse. He was just slow from the traps, Dave. There's a lot of the greyhounds I back tend to be.
Shall we move on? Because we've got four tournaments to plough through.
Yes, sir. Let's get going.
Right. I know you like to go chronological order. So we are off to Johannesburg first for the Joburg Open on the DP World Tour, an event established in 2007. Key note here. Listen, feel free to provide us with some kind of physics lesson or whatever you want to do it, Steve. But I'm all right in thinking we are 5,000 feet above sea level. So when they send it, they're going to really send it.
You're in the Highveld. I don't know why. I'm not very good at South African accent. That was Australian, if anything, wasn't it? We're in the Highveld. I won't even attempt an accent. Houghton Golf Club, Johannesburg, 7,241 yards, par 70, only two par fives. It last staged the South African Open in 1992. It last staged the South African PGA in 1999. It last staged the Alfred Dunhill Championship in 2004. There's a big redesign by Jack Nicklaus and his team in 2009. So there's only five pieces of course form that punters should be looking at. The 2019 and 2020 Sunshine Tour qualifying school and the three Joburg Opens we've had there recently. There was one in 2022, one in 2023, one last year. As you say, altitude, plays short. So it needs its defenses, heavy bunkering, water hazards, undulating greens, but a mixture of sunshine and clouds, temperatures peaking at 23°C, gentle breezes throughout. As with most Jack Nicklaus designs, accurate iron play the key to success. You know, Nicklaus likes his greens to be well guarded, and there's heavy bunkering around these greens. A field of 156 going to post.
And as you say, we have four tournaments to plow through, as I mentioned. When I looked at the market here, this was the one that I was looking forward to the most, to find out who you was going to tip, because we've got Jaden Schaefer as the market leader, Patrick Reed up there as well, Angel Ayora, Henry Duplessis, Francesco Laporta, who's been in great form, and a certain Casey Jarvis as well. Three on the spin, surely not. Right, so the Joburg Open, how many selections?
Two selections, Dave.
Okay, two selections. And it'd be remiss of me not to ask you, what kind of player are we looking to pinpoint here? Give us an attribute.
Accuracy more important than power this week. As you say, plays very short, and accurate iron play the key to success.
Okay, right. Two selections for the Joburg Open. Who is the main pick?
Jaden Trey Schaefer. Keep the faith in Jaden Trey Schaefer. I expect another DP World Tour event in Africa to go away of this Schaefer Jarvis alliance. We mentioned last week what great friends they are. Schaefer won two DP World Tour events in Africa at the end of last year. Jarvis has won the last two DP World Tour events in Africa. So they've had the last four between them. They're egging each other on. And I think the fresher, hungrier man wins this week. Schaefer skipped the Kenya Open. So he had a nice fortnight off prior to last week. He had a really cold putter in round one last week. Didn't hit the ball well in round two. Left himself too far behind going into the weekend. Finished 29th. But I think that scheduling decision will be rewarded this week, because you compare it with Jarvis, who we'll be discussing a lot here. Casey Jarvis is playing for the seventh consecutive week this week. Okay, so Casey Jarvis has been going to the well. He played a Challenge Tour event, Dave, the week prior to the Kenya Open win. So Schaefer is fresher. Schaefer has that extreme motivation because he's not in the Masters yet. We discussed it a lot last week. He's ranked 57th in the world. He needs to be in the top 50 on March 30th to get in the Masters. So these next few weeks, absolutely crucial for Jaden. This is by far his best opportunity to claim a ticket for Augusta. This is the last DP World Tour event this year, this season in Africa. So this is your chance. Huge motivation. And Schaefer loves Houghton Golf Club. This is where it all started for Jaden Trey Schaefer, Dave. He finished 10th in the 2020 Sunshine Tour qualifying school at Houghton just after turning professional. So that's how he got his card on the Sunshine Tour. He's been a consistent threat in his homeland ever since. He turned pro at the age of 18, quickly became Sunshine Tour Rookie of the Year. Then he built Joburg Open form figures at Houghton of 18.99. Now he returns to attack the course as a two-time DP World Tour champion. So yeah, I thought he'd be single figures. When the market came out, it was Patrick Reed and him jostling for favouritism. I think Jaden Trey Schaefer deserves to have clear favouritism for this.
Love it. And listen, I've been a bit lazy for my preparation for this event because I knew you was going to bring all the course form to the table, and there it all is.
I've got everything you need at the table, Dave. Yeah. Schaefer's proven himself on this course when a far less well-established player than he is now.
Right. So here's the main selection then, Jaden Schaefer. Who is the next best or the other selection?
Jacob Skov Olesen, who is a couple of years older than Schaefer, should start winning DP World Tour titles in a similar fashion soon. Olesen starred in American college golf, made a name for himself over there. Then he won the 2024 Amateur Championship. He was the first Dane to win that, the biggest event in amateur golf. Made the cut in the Open at Troon. Then he won a DP World Tour card at Q School. Turned professional after getting that card. Then his first DP World Tour event in Africa resulted in 9th place in the Mauritius Open. His second DP World Tour event in Africa resulted in 13th place in the Kenya Open. Then his third one was at Houghton Golf Club, Joburg Open last year, and he finished 7th. opened with a 65, fell in love with the track, finished the event only four shots off the lead. He's been a regular on DP World Tour leaderboard since, only a matter of time before the breakthrough. Finished third in the Qatar Masters a month ago, fifth in the Kenya Open, and then had a bad start in Stellenbosch last week. Played last week, opened with a 75, had a triple bogey on the 14th hole. Did well to make the cut in the end, finished 63rd. So, yeah, he's the one that's going to keep Shaper honest this week, I feel.
Okay. And listen, I know it was a ropey start last week, but I've seen numerous people in the YouTube comments who have backed him first round leader a few times, and he's done the business. So he's usually a good trapper, if you want to use another ground term.
He is a good trapper, Dave. He is a good trapper. And it'd be interesting to see how Casey Jarvis traps this week. Obviously, we'll be on Casey Jarvis watch. We've tipped Casey Jarvis for the last three Joburg Opens, Dave. We tipped him at 300-1. 300-1 in 2022, 45-1 in 2023. Then last year, there wasn't a Joburg Open in 2024. Last year, he was our headline tip at 35-1. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, he's the man we don't want to win is Casey Jarvis. So surely he's going to run out of puff now. Seventh consecutive week, 14-1.
Well, he won his sixth consecutive event. So. Yeah. Is it three on the spin? Has that been done? Woods? And surely someone's done it at some point.
Oh, someone's done it, Dave. Yeah, you're asking questions about a man that's not slept for 48 hours.
That was something that I thought might have been on the table, to be fair.
No. If Casey Jarvis wins, we take a month off.
Okay, fair enough. Shall we move on?
Yes.
So what about Patrick Reed?
Yeah, Patrick Reed. Remember, it was his first event in South Africa last week. Tied 29th. Another course debut this week. Unfamiliar terrain. Yeah, when the market opened up and Shaper and Reed were level with each other, I was very excited. The markets moved slightly, but Shaper emphatically over Reed for me.
Given that altitude, I mean, maybe I'm looking too much into it, but I thought even more sort of prominence on the course form here because, you know, you got to know how far that ball's going to fly, what club choice is going to be important, course management, everything.
Absolutely. Jaden Treshape has been here since the age of 18. You know, he's playing well in a Q school, Sunshine Tour Q school. So he knows this track better than anyone, Dave.
Right. Anything else to add or should we move on?
No, let's move on. This is an exciting week. Four tournaments, big opportunities. Go take the opportunity. It's there for you.
Okay, right. Two selections there. We are off to Hong Kong now for the LIV Golf. Where are we, Steve? This was an event won by Sergio Garcia last year, right?
Sergio Garcia. Hong Kong Golf Club, Fanling Hong Kong, 6,711 yards, par 70, only two par fives. LIV Golf Hong Kong was played for the first time in 2024. We had another one last year. The European Tour has been here for the Hong Kong Open from 2002 through 2018. Then it became an Asian tour event, the Hong Kong Open, 2020, 2023, 2024, and last year. So lots of course form, classic, old design, short and tight. We've had loads of rain in the build-up, Dave. Loads of rain. It's playing soft. It's vulnerable. You know, absolute birdie fest on the cards here. Sunny and calm for the competition days. 57 runners going to post. Place your bets by 5:15 a.m. on Thursday morning, UK time. Live on TNT Sports, Discovery Plus, LIV Golf Plus app. Terms and conditions apply.
Right. The first event, Joburg Open, just remind us when that kicks off, because obviously if we're playing multiples, we've got to be on by the first leg.
This is it. 4:30 a.m. Joburg, 5:15 a.m. Hong Kong. You've got to, unless you're an early riser. I mean, I'm an early riser because my son just wakes me up.
This is a Wednesday night job, isn't it, getting all your bets on?
I think it is, Dave. Yeah. Get back from your nightclub on Wednesday night and place your bets if you're not in too much of a state of inebriation. Never gamble when you're inebriated.
Very true. Right. Give us an attribute then for the Hong Kong.
Oh, accuracy. Accuracy, yeah, and being tight, good with your being short. Good with your wedges. This is such a short track, Dave. Yeah, the shortest track we'll be considering all year. Iron off the tee wedges on a lot of holes. You've got to be smart on approach.
Right, market here. John Rahm leading the way. Bryson DeChambeau, David Puig, Tyrrell Hatton, Joaquin Neiman, Cameron Smith. It goes on and on and on. Tom McKibben, a big price, attracting a little bit of support this week. I wonder if he's in your team. How many?
Three. This is our biggest one. We've got three in this. We're going with a we've got eight tips in total, Dave. Eight tips in total. So I don't want to put too much pressure
on the punters. What is the formation then? Two by three.
Yeah, yeah. We've got two,
one by
two,
one.
Two, three, two, one.
Okay. Two by three, six, 12. 12 each way, four folds. I think I make that. So you've only got one selection in the final event.
Yes, sir.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, right. Who is the main pick then for the Hong Kong LIV Golf?
Tom McKibben, who won the Hong Kong Open in record-breaking fashion last year. Rounds of 60, 65, 65, 63, 27 under par, seven-shot victory, an exhibition of golf. McKibben will be licking his lips at the chance to return to the same venue just 4 months later. That wet build-up that I mentioned, ideal for McKibben. Hong Kong Golf Club there for the taking. McKibben, long and accurate with whatever club he chooses off the tee, excelled with his wedges there last year. I just expect a repeat success. On his LIV Hong Kong debut a year ago, he finished sixth, 67, 66, 66. So his scoring average at Hong Kong Golf Club is 64.57. He's made a steady start to the year, Dave. 19th in the Dubai Desert Classic, 17th in Riyadh. He had two good rounds out of four in Adelaide. Only one player on the LIV circuit has found more fairways this season than McKibben. Yeah, the key to success this week. So, yeah, 23-year-old Northern Irishman. He must lead the staking plan.
Good. I'm glad he's in the team because he was one on my list as well. And he has been nibbled in the betting already. Here's the main tip. Who's the next best?
Cameron Smith, who had excuses for a quiet 2025. He became a father last spring. The arrival of Remy. He called his son Remy. And he took his eye off the ball a bit. He lost his edge. He didn't play well in big events. But there were signs of a revival in the Australian Open in December last year. He finished second in that. He's made a strong start to 2026. I think Smith is back. He closed with a 65 for 13th place in LIV Riyadh. He finished eighth in LIV Adelaide last time out. Smith is the captain of Ripper GC, of course, Dave. The Rippers have won both of the team events this year. So absolute party time in Adelaide when the Rippers won that. God bless the Rippers. The Rippers have provided my only piece of golfing happiness this year by winning the LIV Adelaide team event. Smith has got his tail up. He looks as happy as Larry. Can Ripper GC complete a hat-trick of team event wins this week? It's entirely feasible, but I think Smith's going to contend for the individual title as well. He loves Hong Kong Golf Club, Dave. He was second in the 2023 Hong Kong Open. He was a playoff loser in the inaugural LIV Hong Kong. We were on him that week. He improved his round score each day on his way to 20th place in LIV Hong Kong last year. He's second on the LIV Tour for birdies this season. He's second for putting. I think it's going to be a low-scoring week. I think a low-scoring Hong Kong Golf Club right up his alley. It was very, very tough picking between McKibben and Smith for the number one selection, Dave. You know me. I only like to have my top selections in the accumulators. I've done a treble and a quad this week. I'll be pretty cheesed off if Smith beats McKibben to deny my each way quad, but this is me. This is me again, a little bit ahead of myself.
Well, listen, you got a bit carried away with the cliches there as well, because it's right up his alley, and he's as happy as Larry. Have you ever met Larry? Larry must be a great bloke to go out with, because he must, like, obviously is the happiest bloke on the planet, right?
yeah, he's very good at controlling his emotions. Is our Larry? Cam Smith's got his tail up. He's always been a pretty happy chappy, but he was a bit cheesed off at times last year. But yeah, he got his game back, and we all know how good he is. Former world number two, former Open champion. It's a good event, this. I'm excited about LIV Hong Kong.
I can feel it. I knew McKibben was going to be in the team. I knew it. Right, one more to come then. Who's the other selection?
The final one is Abraham Answer, who beat Smith in that 2024 LIV Hong Kong playoff. We're on Smith. It broke our hearts. But Answer can mend those wounds on Sunday. A former PGA Tour star, loves Hong Kong Golf Club. You know, lack of driving distance is his main handicap. Not an issue this week. Not an issue at Hong Kong Golf Club. Accuracy counts for so much. Answer, sixth for fairways hit on the LIV Tour this season. He's sixth for birdies, fifth for putting. He finished fourth in LIV Riyadh on a course which doesn't suit him at all. That was a great piece of form, that. 12th in LIV Adelaide. Loving life at Team Talk, Team Torquay, whatever you like to call them. He transferred to Talk this season. And he travels well, does this lad. You know, this is a Mexican-born, Texas-based player. He's won in Canada. He's won in Australia. He won a WGC in Memphis. He's won in Saudi Arabia. I can see a second LIV Hong Kong title this week. He was slow out the blocks in his title defense. Closed with back-to-back rounds of 65 for 12th place.
A stellar list of, a trio, should I say, of players there. John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, no love for them this week, Steve?
No. John Rahm never wins, always the bridesmaid. Had a lot of luck in LIV Adelaide, Dave. I mean, I watched a ludicrous amount of LIV Adelaide, given it was through the night, but my son kept waking me up that week and I couldn't get back to sleep, so I thought I might as well get up and watch LIV Adelaide. And trust me, John Rahm had loads of luck. There was one ludicrous line of sight relief. They really push the boundaries, don't they, on those line of sight reliefs. He was playing with Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau was in the fairway just shaking his head and cursing. You know, he was fuming about this free drop that Rahm was getting. But Rahm couldn't take advantage of this luck. You know, he's just on this run of near misses. He's finished eighth and sixth in the two previous LIV Hong Kongs. Yeah, the course doesn't really accentuate it doesn't really play to his strength. So, John Rahm's a short price for me, and Bryson DeChambeau equally unattractive.
Beefy Bryson, yeah?
Beefy Bryson. You know, this course is does not set up well for him. 6-20 in the two LIV Hong Kongs. So, yeah, no interest in either of those.
Right, should we move on then?
Yes, sir.
Puerto Rico Open coming up on the PGA Tour. What time does this one kick off, Steve?
Yeah, this one is at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Okay, right. An exposed track here, being in Puerto Rico. I'm guessing that the wind is going to be a factor as well.
I'm guessing that my dog will not stop howling. I hope I haven't got an intruder in there. I'm so committed to sweet spots that I'm going to continue the broadcast and deal with the intruder later. Grand Reserve Golf Club, Rio Grande, Puerto Rico, 7,506 yards, par 72, four par fives. Hosted the Puerto Rico Open since 2008. Flat Paspalum grass fairways. And the honors board is very, very mixed. You know, Ryan Brehm and Bryce Garnett have won recent editions of this. You know, they are chalk and cheese as golfers. So there's many ways to skin this particular cat. I think accuracy is the key to success this week, given the weather forecast. We got moderate to fresh breezes all week, you know, a consistent breeze. I think controlling your ball from tee to green is the key to success. A field of 120 going to post. And I think we're going to be able to watch this one day for the first time. We don't normally get to watch the Puerto Rico Open, but I noticed on the Sky Sports website, they've said it's available from 3 p.m. on Thursday on Sky Sports Plus. So, yeah, you could have four golf tournaments available to watch this week.
Okay, good luck to anyone in your household then, trying to wrestle the remote off of you. Right, the market here, Rasmus Højgaard, market leader, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen, Davis Thompson, Ricky Castillo has been well backed, Christian Bezuidenhout, among the market leaders as well. Right, we have got two selections. What sort of player are we looking for the Puerto Rico Open?
I think it's a bin man, just to give you an update on the howling. I think the bin men have arrived.
I thought we was looking for a bin man to win the Puerto Rico Open.
Coco is a very good time.
I'm glad to know that your home security is doing everything it needs. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And Coco's about that big, so I don't think the bin men are going to be too scared. The number one selection for the Puerto Rico Open, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. We got a lot of sweet spot regulars in the staking plan this week. Rasmus finished runner-up on his Puerto Rico Open debut last year, a 23 under par total. That would have been enough to win any of the other Puerto Rico Opens in history. Yeah, Rasmus so unlucky to run into an inspired Carl Phillips. Nygaard-Petersen was making his PGA Tour debut in that event. He finished 22nd in the Valspar Championship in his second PGA Tour start. Then he finished 12th in the US Open in June. This is a lad who went to Oklahoma State University. He's comfortable in stateside arenas. He won three times on the Challenge Tour in 2024. He won his maiden DP World Tour title in the Australian Open at the end of last year. That followed third place in the DP World Tour Championship. You must remember that one. Finished like a train to get a PGA Tour card. So, yeah, you know I love this fella. I've always loved this fella. And he's made a nice, steady start to 2026. You know, PGA Tour rookie, hasn't missed a cut. He's been banking decent checks. Four solid rounds for 40th place on his Cognizant Classic debut last week. I see a maiden PGA Tour title for a supreme ball striker on Sunday. Nine of the 12 editions of the Puerto Rico Open have been won by a PGA Tour maiden.
Interesting. Obviously, this one always runs opposite the Arnold Palmer. He's respected in the market. You started rambling on about Binman. I did ask you which attribute we should be looking for, Steve. So before we get the second selection, what kind of profile player are you looking for here?
Yeah. I think accuracy from tee to green is important this week just because the wind's so strong. You know, all 4 days, consistently strong breeze. I don't think you're going to get a slugger win in this week. So both of my guys are blessed with enormous amounts of tee to green control.
Okay. Well, who is your other guy then?
Doug Gim, who I think will churn out greens in regulation, much like Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. Yeah, both these guys, supremely accurate. Gim showed how efficient he can be at a windswept coastal location by finishing 13th in the Bermuda Championship in the middle of November. It was howling in that. Then he was 7th in the RSM Classic the following week, and he opened with a round of 60 in that RSM. So Gim likes this sort of test. This year, he's banked checks in the Sony Open and the Farmers Insurance Open. He missed the cut by a shot in the Amex. He missed the cut by a shot last week in the Cognizant. I don't think that form that he showed in autumn is far from the surface. If the A game comes out this week, he's a huge threat because, you know, his A game can deliver amazing results. He was 6th in the 2022 Players' Championship, Dave. He was runner-up in the 2024 Shriners. We're talking about a former world number one amateur. Brendan Duke, get your hoodie on. We got a former world number one amateur this week, like Ricky Castillo. Doug Gim was world number one amateur for a very short period, but it's a real feather in his cap. He played in the Puerto Rico Open. He's only played it once before. He was a PGA Tour rookie in 2020. He'd missed his first four cuts of the year. He was world number 485. He's under maximum pressure, but he finished 20th in Puerto Rico. And it's worth noting, he then missed his next three PGA Tour starts. So amid this sea of missed cuts, he got this beacon in Puerto Rico, which really underlines how much Doug Gim likes this track. So he'll be looking forward to his return. And I think he's the nice alternative to Rasmus.
Yeah, nice big price. I'm amazed that you've managed to say all of that without thanking him as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug. Yeah, we'll thank him next week.
Right. Was anyone close to being on the list there? Because there's some of your favourites near the top of the market.
This was the hardest tournament. This was the hardest tournament by a mile, Dave. I mean, Rasmus Højgaard, obviously the class act in a weak grade. He would have been disappointed his brother qualified for the Arnold Palmer and be pleased for his brother. But Nikolai was due to play in this and then sneaked into the Arnold Palmer field. So Rasmus is all on his own this week. Progressive form figures this year. He was 9th last week, Ryder Cup winner last year, but he was only 49th on his only previous start on this course. Lots of wind around. He may be a bit too wild. He's certainly a short price, but I absolutely respect him. We could easily get a Rasmus winner this week. That's not our man. Højgaard has to be respected. And I'll quickly blast through the others that came close because there were many. Matty Schmidt plays this course well. Played well last week. Ricky Castillo, you've seen the early money. It's not my money. I understand the money. I think Ricky Castillo is getting more comfortable in his own skin. Some really encouraging words last week as well as golf. I was hugely tempted by him. Cameron Champ is playing this week, the mercurial Cameron Champ. Closed with a round of 63 last week on the Korn Ferry Tour. You know, Cameron Champ, can you trust Cameron Champ? I've elected not to, but wouldn't be surprised if he's a factor. Adrien Dumont de Chasseur is playing this week, Dave. We expect him to win this year. This is a golden opportunity. Takumi Kanaya, Blades Brown, Dave. I know you like Blades Brown. Yes. You know, cocky little upstart Blades Brown. So much confidence and so impressive the other day, you know, mixing it with Scotty Scheffler. So, yeah, plenty of
attempts. 100 to 1 in a place. Blades Brown, 100 to 1 in a place.
Is he really? Yeah. I mean, I was very keen on not having too many selections this week because four tournaments, it can be intimidating. Can be very intimidating for punters, particularly with the festival next week, as I like to call it, because it is the only one that can be called.
I know you like to call it the festival. Just name me a couple of horses that are running next week.
I will name you a couple of horses that are running next week. Istabrack. Constitution Hill is a good horse.
Running next week?
Well, I've heard he's parading. He's parading next week.
Right, okay.
Dave. You have exposed my lack of knowledge there.
Well, you like to call it the festival. That's fair enough.
Yeah, but it is the festival. And
a YouTube commentator asking about across the sport double, which we'll get onto, Maljabra and the chef, but we'll get onto that very shortly. Listen, I looked at this market.
It's the red line.
And it reminded me of once upon a time when I was at uni, I worked in a betting shop. And I think you might have got a security message about this event because you get some unscrupulous coming to the shop and just say, I'll back Rasmus to win the golf. Please.
Oh, blimey. Yeah,
steady on.
Yeah.
Careful. The pencil man, he was always a security message.
Yeah, there's a good chance of Erasmus winning this week, that's for sure. But eight selections. That's about as much as I could, that's as low as I could get it down to. I think I've done well to do that. So we're averaging two tips per tournament. We hopefully can build our Cheltenham pot rather than worry about not having enough money left for next week.
Right, let's move on then to a signature event, the main event this week as well. It is the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the 48th running at Bay Hill, which is an iconic golf course in itself. 84 bunkers and water on half of the hole. So this is a tricky little track, this one. And Steve, when I was just reading up on this course, it brought a smile to my face. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, I do remember this one.
Shamba. On the sixth, just unhuman like driving to clear the water.
A long time ago, and this course has changed a lot since then. I wouldn't. What did you describe it as? A tricky little course. Yeah, this is
Yeah, I mean, as in it's a tricky long course. You've got to plot your way around here.
It's an absolute beast, Dave. Absolute beast. Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club and Lodge, Orlando, Florida, 7,466 yards, par 72, four par fives. Bay Hill has hosted a PGA Tour event every year since 1979. It's been a signature event since 2023. But my old uncle Arnie made lots of changes to the track through the years. You can't just look at the course form blankly. It's had lots of different types of course. And its signature in recent years has been extreme toughness. Course really sorts the men from the boys. For 9 years in a row, Dave, there's been an over par scoring average at Bay Hill. Last year's scoring average was 72.58. You've got to find the fairways. The rough is always juicy. There's loads of water hazards, fast greens that they dry out over the weekend. You know, they love it getting firm and fast over the weekend. Runoff areas around the greens. Yeah, pretty much Mission Impossible. I watched the start of the latest Mission Impossible film at the weekend, but it was too much violence for Tommy Tiger, so I had to turn it off. But this becomes Mission Impossible if the breeze is blowing. So that there's a bit of mercy for the players this weekend that when the wind is not going to get that bad, but it's still going to play really hard. So we've got gentle breezes this week, sunny and warm conditions, so it will dry out over the weekend. The weekend rounds will be, so there'll be some massive numbers at the weekend. Accuracy is the key to success, as you say, Dave. Grinding out pars is the name of the game. Eight of the last nine winners ranked inside the top 10 for greens and regulation. So it's clear what the task ahead is.
Yeah.
Churn out greens and regulation. Field of 72 going to post. We've got a cut in this one, Dave. The top 50 and ties, and anyone within 10 shots of the lead qualify for round three, and it's the last tournament that tees off about 12:35 p.m. on Thursday.
I wanted to ask you what you think the winning score is going to be in this one.
Oh, you are a cheeky monkey, aren't you? You like testing me.
Yeah,
I mean, Scotty Scheffler won this at 5 under par a few years ago.
Would you take that now? So whoever you're putting up, I know you're only putting player up. Would you take five? If I offered you 5 under par for your player on Sunday, would you take that?
No, I would not, because the breeze is not getting up. So I think you might have to double that this year, actually, with the if the forecast is correct.
10 under par wins this. Surely.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I'd agree with you. I mean, Scotty Scheffler's wins have come at 5 under par and 15 under par, which shows he can do it both ways. But tough question that, Dave. Very wind dependent. And a lot of these ones depend on the PGA Tour bigwigs and how they're feeling, how mischievous they're feeling, Dave.
Well, I hope they make it brutal. They make it brutal.
I hope they make it brutal. I mean, but then all the complaints come. I remember Rory McIlroy getting very angry on you.
This is a signature event. You're playing it. They won't not turn up.
McIlroy closed this event 76-76 one year, if I remember rightly.
That's what we want to see.
He enjoyed it when it was a bit easier. But, we'll come to him. We'll come to him.
Okay. Right, the market then. The Chef, 7-2. McIlroy, 10s. Fleetwood, 20s. Fitzpatrick, 25s. A stellar, star-studded lineup. Right, the formation tells me they've only got one selection here. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right, leading the line then this week in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Who is your selection?
It's a big, burly centre forward. You can trust him to hold the ball up well, I suspect. It's Scotty Scheffler. The Chef will bring home the bacon of our fourfold, the safest pair of hands on planet golf, a man who will be determined to get out the traps quicker at Bay Hill and put an end to all this chatter about the bad Thursdays. I mean, we described him as a Scurlo champ of golf the other day. Obviously, a small sample size. But Scheffler has started this year in impressive fashion. He won the American Express by a 4-shot margin. Remember, he's never won that title before. It got us chatting away, Dave, about how many titles he was going to win this year. Do you remember? Yeah. Double figures was a potential at that stage. But since the Amex, there's been some struggles with trapping, Dave. I know it's your favourite sport. You know why a dog traps well and why a dog doesn't trap well, but it's harder to judge with golfers. We had a Thursday 73 in Phoenix. We had a Thursday 72 in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, a Thursday 74 at Riviera. But despite those slow starts, he nearly won in Phoenix. He was beaten by a shot. He was fourth at Pebble Beach, closed with a 63 to lose by 2 shots, closed with a 65 for 12th place at Riviera. Now, he comes to an assignment which suits him much better than any of those, I would say. This is a place where Scheffler can assert his superiority. I feel like, a solid bit of trapping is all we need on Thursday, and he's away and gone. As I say, this place sorts the men from the boys. Scheffler can separate himself by being brilliant at everything. Much better on this course than he can at the previous ones I mentioned. He's driven his ball really well this season. His putting has been rock solid. Have you noticed how well he's been putting, Dave? Yeah, he's been gaining strokes on the greens every week.
It helps when you knock it stiff, though.
Well, the one aspect of his game, Dave, that's been a bit disappointing. I mean, he was brilliant in that Amex. I remember us chatting about his approach play in the Amex. But since then, his approach play, which is traditionally his main strength, has been a little bit scrappy at times. But surely it's just inevitable that the approach play returns soon. He's been so good for so long on approach that it's just normal service will be resumed imminently, probably this week. We're going to get that fierce focus on Thursday from Scheffler. I mean, there'll be no smiling on Thursday. He's going to be so businesslike on Thursday. He'd be frustrated with all this Thursday chat. And Bay Hill, just an ideal track for me to prove why he's the best player in the world. I mean, he was on a run of 19 consecutive top 10 finishes until he finished 12th at Riviera. And his Bay Hill record just ridiculously consistent. He was 15th on debut in 2020, outside the world's top 50 back then, obviously, PGA Tour maiden. He won the 2022 Arnold Palmer on his second Bay Hill start. He was fourth in 2023, and then he won by a 5-shot margin in 2024. 11th last year. So he's been winning this event every other year. I think that pattern is going to continue. I obviously considered it's not just a case of just pick going through one player and say, oh yeah, he's going to win. I go through all 72 players to get to Scotty Scheffler. It's a long, laborious process, and I just found chinks in the armor of everyone. Like, I tried to find alternatives. I'll come to the ones I got closest to now, but there's no chinks in the armor of Scotty Scheffler. This first round thing is an anomaly. It's not a thing, Dave. It's not a thing.
Okay, is that, you're making it into a thing.
I'm making it into a
right,
thing.
Listen, yeah. He is 7-2 in a place. What would be too short for Scotty Scheffler when you just go, well, do you know what? He's got a great chance, but I can't back him at that price.
I think it's a lovely price. And I think the first round thing, if it is indeed a thing, has made that price as good as it is. Yeah, you know, I think he's gone off shorter prices than that this year. This is as good as we've got this year, I believe. And I think it's a bargain. Because it's a signature event, you've got the big names there. But I can find chinks in the armour of all those big names. I think 7-2 is a massive price.
If you tell me that because McIlroy's playing in the TGL, that's a chink in his armour, I'm not going to accept that. He is the second favourite. I feel that's what's coming. There's double-figure prices out there about Rory McIlroy. He's not your pick. Why?
Well, he won this in 2018. He's got a good Bay Hill record. He's the biggest danger to Scheffler for me. But it was an 18 under par total when he won that in 2018. 2018 was the best year ever.
Yeah.
2018 was a glorious year. We backed Rory McIlroy at 18-1 that week. All the 18s. We backed him at 18-1. He finished 18 under par in 2018. But Bay Hill was playing easier back then. It's become more of a grind since. Who are you going to trust in a grind, Scheffler or McIlroy? You know, course management so important this week. Are you going to trust with course management, Scheffler or McIlroy? Yeah, I could see this becoming a Scotty v Rory show at the weekend. But at the weekend, when it's going to get tougher and tougher and the course is drying out, you just back Scheffler not to make the mistakes. And you think Rory could make the mistakes. And yeah, I am going to mention TGL. I'm going to mention contrasting preparations today, because I do think they're a factor. I mean,
I'm only jesting.
Who's to say that the reason Shane Lowry suddenly hit a wall of mental fatigue on Sunday, Dave, was the fact that he played a TGL match on the Tuesday night? I mean, poor preparation, investing emotional energy. Suddenly on the 16th, hit him like an anvil. I'm not for one second saying it's definitely the reason why, but it could have been a 1 or 2 percentage point. Could have been 1 or 2 percentage points. Why is he playing it on a Tuesday night TGL? Madness. Rory McIlroy. Signature event this week. He's playing TGL on Sunday night. He's bantering with Tiger Woods. Obviously, he's in awe of Tiger Woods. He's like a little kid, and he's like a little kid around Santa Claus when he sees Tiger Woods. Yeah, he's investing emotional energy just being near Tiger Woods. He reveres Tiger Woods. So McIlroy's invested a lot of emotional energy on Sunday night. And then on Monday, he's playing in the Seminole Pro member of it. Have you been following that? The Seminole Pro. It's always in the week of Bale on the Monday. Basically, it's like the richest guys in America. Seminole Golf Club.
How challenging is the course?
It's by the coast. It's nothing like Bay Hill. McIlroy's playing with his dad. McIlroy's playing with Shane Lowry in that group as well. So McIlroy's probably done about 5 hours of counseling work on Monday. Shane Lowry's gone from that to the Seminole Pro member teeing up with McIlroy and Jerry McIlroy. The McIlroy's won it, but loads of players. The rich guys of Seminole attract all the it's a lovely golf course to play.
If you paid a fortune to turn up,
there's got to be some money involved. It's the most elite golf club in America. It's up there with your Augustas. But the point is, McIlroy's gone from Sunday night TGL to 18 holes, counselling Shane Lowry and looking after his dad, and on a coastal track, which is unlike Bay Hill. Contrast that with Scotty Scheffler, who never gets involved in TGL. Yeah, the most focused professional out there, and doesn't demean himself by going to hang out with the rich guys at Seminole. He doesn't need that. Scheffler doesn't need that in his life. We know Scheffler, one-dimensional.
He's a killer. He's a winner.
He's a killer. He's preparing for a signature event the way you should prepare for a signature event. And, that is definitely in my calculations. And then the other guys that I came close to selecting, similarly sloppy preparation, Dave. Tommy Fleetwood, Seminole Pro-Am, then a TGL match afterwards. So yesterday on the Monday, Seminole Pro-Am, then played a TGL match. Yeah, I like Fleetwood for Bay Hill. Yeah, he found his A game on the PGA Tour this year. But messy preparation. Matt Fitzpatrick, the same Seminole Pro-Am, then played against Fleetwood last night in the TGL. So Matt Fitzpatrick's been hitting his ball amazingly well this year.
Was there anyone else you do like, Steve? I know you've only gone for Scheffler, but was there anyone you was close to putting up as kind of an each-way alternative?
Well, if Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick had been focused on you know, and prepared properly for this, they would be on my radar. Cameron Young was the closest of all. Cameron Young closed with a pair of 66s at Riviera last time out. I think Cameron Young's going to have a big year. Played well at Riviera coming home, skipped the Seminole Pro member, but did play in TGL last night. He was a teammate of Fitzpatrick. So, yeah, Cameron Young, if you want a second one, it's Cameron Young. 33-1 out there is a big price. But, yeah, I want all my eggs in the Scheffler basket, and I want all my eggs in multiples. You know, this is a massive opportunity for each way, trebles and quadruples.
Right, okay, I'm just going to fire some at you that are on my radar, and you can put a line through them for me. There is a player at 90-1 available called Michael Thorbjørnsen.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been disappointing since the near miss in Phoenix. His driving is very useful here. You're obviously a magnificent driver, and that is useful in the Arnold Palmer. Yeah, I haven't got enough confidence in him. No, sorry, Dave, I've not got enough confidence in him.
That's all right. And the other one was Sahith Theegala, 100-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't have enough confidence in him. No, to beat Scheffler around here, there's only three players I can imagine. Well, there's four players I can imagine doing it, and I've mentioned them all. Rory McIlroy, if his course management is better, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Cameron Young. So I can't imagine anyone else doing it. Colin Morikawa, he had a near miss in this last year, Dave. Remember, Russell Henley chipped in. Colin Morikawa was second, but his previous efforts at Bay Hill have been disappointing.
What about Ludwig? Where are we at with Ludwig Åberg?
Yeah, Ludwig creeping back to his best. You know, had health problems at the start of the year. He hasn't played well hardly at all this year, is he? So it's a leap of faith. He's got plenty of Bay Hill experience. Played well here as an amateur when he started out on the PGA Tour. So yeah, obviously I respect Ludwig, but I just want to see a bit more before I take the plunge with him. I just see one outstanding candidate here. I think this is a week. Yeah, you got to time these weeks right with Scheffler. We try and get him beat when we can. We try and get him beat as much as possible, but we just can't get away from him this week, I'd say.
That's fair enough. So you're going to be putting a dent in the sofa this week, Steve, I'm sure. Four events.
Yes. I'll get as much on the telly as I possibly can. Obviously, it's very difficult to wrestle full control. Tommy Tiger's obsessed with Indiana Jones. That's his hero. My hero's Tiger Woods. His hero is Indiana Jones. So he likes to just watch Indiana Jones as much as he can. I'm going to watch as much golf as I can. And this could be a great week, Dave. I mean, this could be the week.
It could be the last time that the Sweet Spot viewers get to see you.
Yeah, I mean, if all the number one selections win, then we'll say our goodbyes. But
is there any darts on this week to chuck in a fivefold?
I will have the Premier League, won't we? We'll have the Premier League.
I like watching the Premier League, but as a betting,
well, I got a season long bet going for me. Back Josh Rock to finish bottom at the start of the year. That's my only focus on the Premier League.
So you're just death riding him every week.
He lost in Belfast the other day, so that was a right result. He hasn't got a point yet, so that's my only interest in that. There might be another event of the weekend, but I haven't had time to look at that. Honestly, Dave, I have not.
It's understandable. It's understandable. You've been a busy man. Let's have a roundup then of the four events. We will go in chronological order. And when you give the selection, can you remind us what time each event starts as well, if possible? So we'll start with the Joburg Open.
4:30 a.m. Thursday morning. Jaden Schaper, Jacob Skov Olesen.
Liv Hong Kong.
5:15 a.m. Thursday morning. Tom McKibben, Cameron Smith, Abraham Answer.
The Puerto Rico Open.
11 a.m. Thursday morning, Rasmus Nergard Petersen, Doug Gim.
And the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
12:35 p.m. approximately, Scotty Scheffler. Obviously, those timings are UK and Ireland time. We got a worldwide audience, Dave.
GMT. GMT.
GMT.
Right, yeah, one of the YouTube commenters, Malgebra, I think it is, and Scotty Scheffler. I think we might have some of that. I've heard of that before, Malgebra. So what do you think, Steve?
I'm sorry, Dave. I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Malgebra. The double. Cheltenham, Malgebra.
Oh, Malgebra's a horse, Scheffler. Is it? Malgebra's a horse. Okay, no, fair enough. Sorry.
I don't know what race is in, but someone's chucked that out as a double.
Have they? No, I appreciate that. No, Joe, chuck it all in there. There were some fantastic comments last week. We had a Canadian on last week. Yeah, I love this worldwide audience we got. You know, elbows up, Canada. I learned a bit about that expression last week. There's a fella coming in with, like, his dream two-ball partnerships of, like, funny names, like... Steve Alka and Michael Hollick, you know, alcoholic two ball.
Nice.
He's coming up with all sorts. The comment section is thriving.
It is. So oh, yeah, Malgebra to win the champion chase and Scotty Scheffler. There you go.
Okay, yeah, Malgebra. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Well, obviously, next Tuesday we'll be on and we can come up with the live Cheltenham selections for day one, yeah?
How exciting. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's on the edge of their seat to find out. I'll test your knowledge next week on Cheltenham, see what you got from us.
I might get a few whispers from the yard. People always, the yardies are always ringing me up.
The dogs are barking and all that rubbish, yeah?
Yeah, I might get some whispers. So I'll pass them on next Tuesday if I do.
Okay, all good stuff. Steve, listen, go well this week. It's a big week, four events. It feels like it's all about the chef as well. Is that the banker of the week, the chef?
Well, it's all about the fourfold. I mean, if you offered me three winners now, I wouldn't take it. I want the fourfold. This is our moment, Dave.
Martin McCutcheon kind of job. This is our moment. Okay, well, this has been the sweet spot here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. A reminder that Cheltenham is next week. We've got you covered. Check out the feed. Next week, there'll be all sorts of content. Good Morning Cheltenham is a must watch every morning of the festival. Live show bringing you all the noise from the Fezzy. Gamble responsibly, enjoy the golf, and we'll see you next week.